Winners Pearl Harbor.
It probably was, yes. I think they probably were in by that time.
I think
I'm
it might
sure.
have started.
Yes, yes.
But you wouldn't know it was wartime New York, but good heavens, you wouldn't know it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, all the old fat ladies used to get upset because they couldn't get their certain brands of things, but it didn't have anything to do with the war.
No, no, no.
Terrible. And, of course, it was all going on at home, and we felt sort of pretty awful because we'd hopped off at the critical moment, but you couldn't do much by staying. Mm. Dr. Hardiman said that if I hadn't gone then, he said, every year you're getting older, if you want to get independent, get onto your better calipers. You should get going now.
No, I see.
And that was really what drove us to it. There was a great worry going on about whether it was the thing to do. I suppose it wasn't, but anyway, there we were. And having got there, we didn't want to come back.
No,
it was so wonderful, you see, and we were learning so much. And I had lessons from Sergei Sedekin. He was an old ballet, Russian ballet designer. And
had you trained in Melbourne before you left?
Well, I hadn't, because during the 12 years I was sitting around with my back worries, not able to sort of get around there. I did a lot of drawing and illustrating fairy tales, and Kathleen and I, we had little exhibitions. I don't know if you ever heard of old Margaret MacLean. Do you ever know Margaret MacLean?
No, I don't believe I did.
Well, she had a gallery in Collins Street, and we had these sort of fairy tale exhibitions, Grimm's and Hans Andersen's. And no theatre at that stage. This is long before we met Doyle or anything.
I see.
So then I had lessons from Edith Alsop. She used to come out of the house. And she was a great cubist. She'd been in Paris studying under André Lhote.
Oh, yes, yes.
And she tried to get us onto this. Well, I was not a cubist.
No.
I was a painter. But we tried hard. It was all quite good. And at school, of course, I'd learnt from old Archibald Cahoon. And did plaster casts, but apart from that, and doing autograph books for all the various ones. Well, that's the extent of the learning.
I see. So this contact with the Russian designer in New York was really the first.
And he said, you know, I have an awful lot to learn, so he showed me a lot. And
what was his name?
Sergei Sudeikin.
Sudeikin.
S-O-U-D-E-R-K-I-N-E.
I see.
A ballet that we'd seen and loved, loved when we saw it in Melbourne, was Paganini.
Oh, yes.
You remember that?
Yes, I remember it well.
He did quite a lot for the Russian ballet and a lot for the ballets over in New York. He was living in New York now. And a Russian friend of ours introduced us and said he does give some lessons, but he's more or less sort of given that up because he'd been so busy. He was doing all the Radio City things at that stage and a whole lot of musicals, goodness knows what, as well as ballet. We went along one morning, and he was in a funny old studio over in the west side. And when we arrived, he came to the door. We knocked about 16 times, thought, oh, he's not in. And he came in, a little short, fat thing with a dressing gown on. He just looked at us, and I was petrified anyway. We went in, the whole, all around the walls, just instead of wallpapers, just masses of his designs, everywhere you look. Lovely, gorgeous things. Yeah. And all the Paganini designs and everything. So anyway, we said what the thing was. I said, I'm doing these ballet designs, and I'm still not on the union. I don't think I can get on it for a while, because you have to pay $500. It's now about 20 times that. And you had to do a big exam. And also the waiting list was very long. And you had to wait for the old chappies, you see, to die off before you could get started. So, anyway, I said, I'm plugging along. I'm doing things for Igor Svetsov now, because he had some ballets he wanted to put on. He thought he could wangle things to have them, to get me in with the Monte Carlo company. So there was great arguments going on. That's when this malediction thing came up. And he liked them very much, and he wanted to use them, but couldn't. You see, it was awful. So Sedekin said, well, no, I can't take on any more pupils. I've given up teaching. You'll have to learn from someone else. He was very abrupt. Didn't talk too good English either. And so a bit of a chat, and he introduced her to his nice, very large, enormous Valkyrie type. She was an opera singer wife, an American. Huge, about twice as tall as he was. And very, very nice. Anyway, back we went to our apartment, and that afternoon there was a knock on the door. little sedacan. Oh, I said, I thought it over. He said, my cat died lately, and I think I might take on a pupil. It's sort of instead of the cat, you know. It's funny, a thing. He came in, he said, now, I brought a lot of odd bits, pencils and a whole lot of stuff. He said, now, look around, see what you've done. And he looked at some things I had there, and he said, oh, yes. And he used to come every day and give me lessons.
Oh, well, that was good.
He got interested. He's a marvellous man. Mm-hmm. He showed me such a lot and taught me such a lot. And anyway, he was very keen on draftsmanship, and I had to, you know, work at that thing. Mm-hmm. And that went on for quite some time. And then he was on a very strict diet, and he knew he'd die if he ate ordinary things. He had to live on bananas and milk or something frightful.
Goodness.
And, of course, he said, it's no good to me. I think I'll go off it fairly soon, then I'll probably die. Well, he did. He had a heart attack and he died. But anyway, in the meantime, he'd become a great friend. We liked him very much. He was a dear little man and very kind. So from then on, I kept on with all this designing business. Mm-hmm. And there were various companies, like Graham Muradov had a small company. It was going over to Europe. Mm-hmm. And he made me do a lot of circus designs for him. Mm-hmm. And couldn't use my name at all. It was all very sort of under the hat, because if you did, because you'd be clapped into jail or something, not being on the union.
On the union, yes.
So then Kermit Love, who was doing also a lot of designing for big musicals and things, I met him, and he was on the committee of this United Scenic Artists thing. Woodman Thompson was the president. And I was talking to Kermit, and he said, you know, I think the only way, now, I'll put in a word for you. I think you can get into the next exam. I think it comes up in February. And he said, anyway, I'll see what can be done. Well, believe it or not, I did. I got into the next exam. But I had to go up to Montreal, take out first papers. We went up there for about 4 days, and we became resident aliens. We got on the quota, came back to New York, and the exam. Chagall was doing it, because he had to do the designs for Aleko, for Massin.
Yes.
And he was not allowed to do them. They were not accepted until he did the exam. And this dear old boy, he was there doing it. Oh. 8 o'clock in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. You had to do a whole lot of designs beforehand to bring in, and then you had to do a lot of stuff while we're there. You had to answer all the oral part, and also fill out papers, and colossal thing. Kermit, very nicely, had told me more or less the kind of questions they would be likely to ask and the kind of books to get, so that's a great help. Enormous help. So I got 90.
Goodness, oh,
90. I thought I made, you know, no more trouble. But that was only the beginning. You then had to dig your toes in. We'd got somehow, got the money over. Forgotten. What? Oh, I know. I broke my ankle. Tats dropped me. She was carrying me into the bath. And we fell over the mat, and I broke it, and it was a marvellous thing to happen, because the doctor was able to write out to our doctors in Melbourne and the bank and things, and said I had to stay on over there, and needed more money.